Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopinana Madhava Giri Vardha Gopi Gopijana Bala Rumba Giri Vardha Gopi Sudanana Brajajanu Ranjanga Sudanana Brajajanu Ranjana Yamunate Ravanachanti Amuna Che Rabana Chaduti Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balarupa Girivaru Kare Gopijana Balarupa Girivaradhanti Yasodhanandana Rajajanu Ranjanga Yasodhanandana Rajajanu Ranjana Amuna Te Ravana Jaruti Amuna Te Ravana Jaruti Jai Hurana Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radhu Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya Alstotela Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jaya. Ananda Gauti Vaishnav Vrindika Jaya. Shishi Radhakrishna Gopagopada Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Jaya. Vrindavanam Jaya. Maturidam Jaya. Navadeepdam ki jai, Jagadavasami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimadigalasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, we'd like to welcome all these nice devotees from other places. Draupadi is here. Navkishori is here. Amala Prem is here. And these are people from Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Horn Pandey, and also from Bosnia. People watching from all over. Yeah, the sages. I don't see the sages. I see the sages on the Facebook. That's material vision. So, reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 5, Texts 17 to 18. And we're going to do 17 responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nisham Yaitat Asuragana Mahendra Varuna Dayaha Nadya Gachan Swayam Mantrayar Mantrayanto Vinishchitam Nisham Yaitat Suragana Sinagana Mahendra Varuna Dayaha Nadya Gachan Swayam Mantrayar Mantrayanto Vinishchitam Nisham Yaita Suragana Mahendra Varuna Dayaha Nadya Gachan Swayam Mantrayar Mantra Yanto Vinishchitam Nisham Yaitat Sunaganda Mahendra Varanada Yaha Nadya Gachan Swayam Mantrayar Mantrayanto Vinishchitam Shamyaita Tsunagana Mahendra Bhunanadayaha Madhyagachan Swayam Mantrayar Mantriyanto Vinishchitam Gachan Swayam Mantrayam Mantrayanto Vinishchitam Nishamya, hearing. Oh, actually, I should recite the second verse here. Tato brahma savajat mor meru murtani sarvashakha sarvam vijapayam chakru pranatha parameshtine. Nishamya, hearing. Etat, this incident. Suraganaha, all the demigods. Maha Indra, King Indra. Varuna Adayaha, Avaruna and other demigods. Nāt. Nāt. Adya gacchan. Reached. Swayam. Personally. Mantrahai. By deliberation. Mantrayanta. Discussing. Vinischitam. A real conclusion. Tataha. Thereupon. Brahma Sabbam. To the assembly of Lord Brahma. Jadmoho. They went. Meraho. Of Sumeru Mountain. Murdhani. On the top. Sarvashaha. All of them. Sarvam. Everything. Yapayam. Chakraho. They informed. Pranataha. Offered obeisances. Parameshtine. Unto Lord Brahma. Translation. Lord Indra, Varuna, and the other demigods, seeing their lives in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru Mountain. There, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances, and then they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. So you can repeat. Lord Indra, Varuna, and the other demigods, seeing their lives in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru Mountain. There in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances. And then they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. So there's no purport to this text. So we're going to read text 19 to 20, and which there's a purport to. It was all right before. Now it's just it's too buzzy. Turn the amp down. That's all right. And then turn up the volume of the speakers downstairs. Volume of the speakers downstairs. Okay. So anyway, I'm just going to read the next text, two texts, and then the translation purport. Savilokyendra vaivadin nishotvan vigataprabhan lokanamangala prayan vasuranayata vibuhu samakitena manasa samsmaran purusham param uvachot pulavadano Devan sa Bhagavan padaha. So the translation is, upon seeing that the demigods were bereft of all influence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing that the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After hearing from the demigods the real situation, Lord Brahma was very much concerned because the demons were unnecessarily so powerful. When demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position because demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Demigods or devotees however, are concerned with the welfare of all living beings. Srila Rupa Goswami, for example, left his ministership and went to Vrindavan for the benefit of the entire world, Lokanam, Hitakaranam. This is the nature of a saintly person or demigod. Even impersonalists think of the welfare of all people. Thus, Brahma was very much concerned at seeing the demons in power. Terrible. So, Om Ganat Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So let's first of all touch upon why the demons were in power, and then also we can touch upon why the Lord allowed this to happen. You know, because people question, of course, this is something called theodicy, this particular branch of philosophy or branch of religious understanding. Theodicy means the justice of God. If God is there, you know, why the heck are all these things going on? So anyway, let's touch upon the first topic first. So why is this situation occurring? Well, we find that the demigods, who are devotees, and they are Satkama devotees, they committed a grievous mistake, or let's say offense, not even a mistake. And that offense was that they had, at least Indra, had taken a garland that was offered to him by Durvasa Muni, and that garland he put on his elephant, and the elephant happened to trample the garland. That's an offense. I mean, let's say if someone gives you Mahaprasadam, and I mean, even if it's something you don't normally eat, like sometimes people give me. I was in Houston, and someone gave me this milkweed, Mahaprasadam Maharaj. So I had to be very careful because I don't take milkweeds generally. So what I did, I licked on the top of it and I honored it and then gave it to other people or like that. Took care of it in the proper way. Rather than just like saying, ew, I don't eat milk. You understand? So I honored it. So even if Indra, let's say Indra had an allergic reaction to the marigolds in the garland or something like that. He actually offended. It's not a question that, you know, he could have taken off, put the garland on and then put it on one of the other demigods or something like that. There's ways to deal with it. So instead, what he did, oh, the garland. Oh, my God. If I say, oh, don't leave me. I was like that, then I'll be committing the same offense that King Indra did with Durvasa Muni. So he just like, in other words, he disrespected Mahaprasadam, because Durvasa Muni is a great devotee. He's an expansion of Lord Shiva, empowered expansion of Lord Shiva. And, you know, I know that he has some issues with anger from time to time, different issues. But still, he's a great devotee, a great Vaishnava, you know, an expansion of Lord Shiva. So you have to be very, very careful when you're dealing. You know, so if a great Vaishnava gives you a remnant, I mean, of course, there's different ways of dealing with remnants. If the great Vaishnava gives you his socks, it's not that you put on his socks. As Prabhupada said, you should never, let's say, sit on the seat of a great Vaishnava. Of course, this is a generic seat here, and I'm not a great Vaishnava anyway. But sometimes we do have great Vaishnavas sit on the seat, like when Vaishyashika comes, you know, other great Vaishnavas, and Drishtapuru, Rani, and other Krishna Priyas. But anyway, so great Vaishnavas sit on the seat, and Purvaji. So great Vaishnavas, a Vaishnava, you sit on the seat, and, you know, why am I sitting on the seat? Because it's a generic seat for the person giving class. And actually, we're supposed to be representing Srila Vyasadeva, therefore it's called the Vyasa-san, because it's meant for Srila Vyasadeva or representing Srila Vyasadeva. So that's all right. But generally, with the spiritual master, let's say if there is one of Srila Prabhupada's chairs or something like that, nobody should sit on it or you say, oh, Srila Prabhupada sucks, you use that. But other aspects, in fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, it talks about taking the deities, you know, clothes and remnants and wearing them, and how it's actually very auspicious. It frees you from karma and also gives you bhakti. I mean, it's pretty wonderful. And like the old deity clothes, we encourage the parents to buy the deity clothes so the children put on the children make spiritual advancement. We eat the deity's remnants. Lord Chaitanya said the remnants of the deities, the prasadam remnants of the deities, are like have Krishna's saliva in it. I mean, it's just really amazing, all these remnant things that that actually are very purifying. So here we see King Indra, or at least previously in this chapter, we see that King Indra offended Durvasa Muni, and by committing an offense, you know, Nagati Katopi. So offenses can be committed not only due to neglecting remnants or prasada actually means mercy, it doesn't mean food, but offenses can be committed by neglecting the order of the spiritual master. Offenses can be committed by verbally offending a devotee or corporally offending a devotee. So, or offending the holy place. For example, when you go to Vrindavan, it's mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says you just spend a fortnight in Vrindavan. Because if you spend longer, there may be the tendency. I mean, of course, if you have service, that's a different thing. And if you're doing some retreat, it's a different thing. But if you're just staying there and hanging around, there's a tendency just to see the Vrajavasis as ordinary people. And this is actually quite dangerous, and even Lord Chaitanya had to advise Jagannanda Pandit about this. Because Jagannanda Pandit, in his ontological position, is Satyabhama. So Satyabhama, I mean, obviously, you know, Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani, I understand that, but it's a different mood. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Jagannanda Pandit to Vrindavan, he said, always stay under the care of Sanatana Goswami and don't associate so much with the Vrajavasis because they're in a different mood. And you won't, you know, the implicit thing was that he would commit an offense against them. Of course, I understand there's a pastime, Jagannanda Pandit is, you know, such a bomber. That's another subject matter. But at least on the external platform, what Lord Chaitanya was teaching us was that you have to be very, very careful. And the Vrajavasis, I mean, you go to Vrindavan, we were talking to a devotee about this in Houston. You go to Vrindavan, and they're not, you know, you don't see them picking up their japa beads and chanting, Hare Krishna, how many rounds you get to? No, 16 rounds, very good. How many regulated principles do you follow? Like that, very, very good. You don't see them doing those things, isn't it? And, you know, have you studied the Bhagavad Gita today? How many verses do you know in the Bhagavad Gita? It's like we were at the meeting, and then we have this program that everybody has to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. At our meeting, we were doing that. It was very nice. Together, they were chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is Vaisheshika's program. It's very nice. So if you apply that to the Vrajavasis, or think that the Vrajavasis should be doing those things, you know, how many verses of the Gita do you know? You'll be committing an offense. Because if you talk to them, I mean, Krishna is their buddy. You know, it's a different platform than we're at. You know, I'm struggling to be a Vaidhi Bhakta. You know, follow the rules and regulations. I mean, sometimes devotees think that they're on a higher platform than they're actually at. It's a problem. A devotee, one of the temple presidents, and he was saying that. He's saying, basically, you know, I'm on a higher platform. And I explained to him, if you think you're on a higher platform, you're in trouble. And also, even if you are on a higher platform, you have to be showing the first-class example of Vaidhi Bhakti, just to, you know, just set an example for others. Lord Chaitanya was on a higher platform. I mean, we can't talk about Lord Chaitanya on the highest platform. And he just talked about intimate things with 3.5 people. So if you apply that to the Vrajavasis, I mean, just for example, there's that story about Sanatan Goswami. He goes to the Brahmin in Mathura, the Chobe Brahmin in Mathura, who had Madan Gopal, who later on became known as Madan Mohan. And this Brahmin was treating the deity just like his son. And his son was playing marbles with the deity. And he put the deity at the dinner. Of course, they didn't have tables. I'd be careful when I tell that story, because obviously they're humble devotees, so they would sit on the floor like in India. Tables are something, you know, high tables and seats are something different. So they would seat the deity down, or put the deity down on a piece of cloth or something, and spread out a banana leaf in front of the deity. And the deity would take, I wouldn't say prasadam, the deity would eat with the rest of the family. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Because, in other sense, you know, Prabhupada did say that, I mean, I don't know if Prabhupada said that, some devotees said that everything in Vrindavan is prasadam, but of course, still we offer food. Some devotees do that. They go to the marketplace when they're not on the platform of the Braja buses. They go to the marketplace and just pick things up and eat. He said everything in Vrindavan is prasadam. You ever see people do that? It's interesting. But, you know, still we should offer to Krishna. So, anyway, they were offering to Krishna by having him sit down and eat with them at the same time. And Sanatana Goswami came there and he saw that. And he said, you know, this is not the proper deity worship standard. You have to have an altar. Of course, later on, he didn't have an altar. He kept Madan Gopal in a tree, hanging from a tree. Because he's also on that same platform. So he said that, and then Krishna appeared to him in the dream, and Krishna said to him, why did you spoil all my fun? So there's an instance even of Satan Goswami not properly, I mean, he understood, but let us say not really approaching on the external platform the mood of the Brajabhasa. In fact, he understood. It's a pastime. And then because of that, Madan Gopal, or Madan Mohan, said, now you have to take care of me. And then Sanatana Goswami complained, of course we know, that how can I take care of you? I don't have any facility. And later on, you know, if you want any salt, you have to get it for yourself. So this is the platform of the point I'm making, this is the platform of the Brajabhasis. So if one goes to Vrindavan, get started talking about this, one goes to Vrindavan and just sees these people as ordinary people. You know, there's, you know, we're much better. We're the Westerners. We're there. Of course, even the private bosses have mobile phones now, so you can't feel more empowered just because you have a mobile phone. So we're better. You know, you're just heating yourself with a fire, burning plastic. Whereas I'm in my house, I have an air purifier. And I have all these different facilities and a generator that keeps electricity. You know, just these poor people. Shoo-wee! Forget it. You committed an offense just by thinking like that. It's very dangerous. Just by thinking like that, you're any better. You know, well, you know, we're ISKCON devotees, we're better. You committed a big offense against the holy Dao. So one has to be very careful, just like we hear about the spiritual pastor. But then we... Savadana Mate. You know, Savadana means caution, of course, in Hindi and also in Sanskrit. So, therefore, the demigods committed this offense. So the question is, why did they commit that offense? And that's easy to understand. Janmaishwarya Shutashishi Viradaman Adapaman. As Queen Kundi prays, what is it? They were proud of their opulence. And, you know, as Rupa Goswami says, you know, Achahara Prayasas Cha, Bajalpati Magraha, Janasangas, Saloyam Cha, Sabirvakti Panashati, that they were just experiencing, you know, they're in the mode of passion. I mean, of course, generally we say, you know, those in the mode of goodness go to the demigods, but they have all this passion because they're administrators. They're administrative demigods. Indra, of course, is the head of the administrative demigods. Lord Brahma is not the head of the administrative demigods. So whenever you have some, management responsibility, and the demigods certainly have management responsibility, there's this tendency. Of course, they were put in that position because they desired to have management responsibility. They had some desire to control for Krishna. That's what we talk about, Sakama devotees. They desired to enjoy and be Krishna conscious. They desired to control and be Krishna conscious. So they're pious, they're devotees, we don't want to offend them. But at the same time, they're karma mishra bhakti. In general, there are exceptions. I mean, Yamaraj is a pure devotee. It's karma mishra bhakti. So because of that, they tend, because of their opulence, because of their desires, they tend to lose sight of the goal of Krishna consciousness. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, oftentimes we don't ask ourselves that. And of course, that's also this Niyamagraha business. Niyamagraha means to be performing devotional service and forgetting why you're doing devotional service. I mean, I've been talking a lot to the devotees about this as I travel. And generally, what I do is I ask the devotees to tell me what the prayers that they're reciting mean. You know, like, for example, we just even did Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, and I would say over 50% of the devotees couldn't give me even a paraphrased translation. I don't need a verbatim translation. To me, that's not that important. But a paraphrased translation of what does, you know, each word mean in the mantra. You know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. You know, I understand. I'm not going to do it now. So that's really important to understand what, you know, the basic mantras. I'm not saying that everyone has to memorize the whole Bhagavatam. We have devotees who memorize the Bhagavatam and Gita. Actually, our goddess Narayani has memorized the whole Bhagavatam. I mean, I couldn't even think of doing that. For me, like, struggling with one verse. You know, if I could do one verse, I have to just concentrate on and repeat it 1,000 times, and maybe I can remember it. But at least understand our basic prayers. Or people recite the Prasanam prayers, right? Shivira Avijaya. And I had one temple that nobody knew the translation to it. I said, you recited it every day. In the beginning days of the movement, we just did it in English, if you remember. We all said, you know, oh Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance, etc. But so the demigods, you know, I'm not going to give them advice, but let's say it would be good if they would question themselves, you know, why are we doing what we're doing? At least be aware what they're doing. I'm not a demigod. At least be aware of their intention, motivation, vision for life, and then be able to correct that thing. But actually, you know, the goal of life is Panchamam Purusharta, that is love of God. And they could bring it back. And we do need to bring it back. And whatever our service is, we do need to continually bring back, you know, our focus. What is our goal? Otherwise, we become too much enraptured in our passionate activities. I mean, I find myself doing that all the time. You know, we have so many things to do. You know, I have a list here of everything I have to do today, and this can probably grow to about 20 more items. And then, you know, you're chanting and you're thinking about what you're supposed to do rather than the holy name, or rather than thinking of the goal, you know, or praying to Krishna, or connecting with the holy name, or understanding the meaning of the holy name. So this is the problem with the demigods and the problem with us, too. The problem with every devotee who's not, you know, really pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of God. The modes of nature, especially the mode of passion, I find the mode of passion really is something. And of course, the mode of ignorance too, from time to time, because we all like to sleep and overeat and do other things like that. So the demigods, they actually just became proud. Indra, at least, in this particular case, became proud and he committed that. And that's why it happened. He wasn't attentive. Like Prabhupada said, like a little inattention can draw blood. Like he used the example of the straight razor that they used to use in the barber shop. I haven't been to a barber shop in years, so I don't know if they still use it. But it's like a one blade about this big. And the barber would take it on a strop. Is it called a strop or something like that? Or a strop. And he would sharpen it up like that. And in one little, if he slipped, you know, your ear was finished. Seriously, I mean, it was sharp. Now, of course, we have safety razors. If you slip, no problem. You know, you may bleed a little bit, cut your eyebrows off or something. But it's not a big problem. So Prabhupada said, you know, it's like a razor's edge. That was one of Prabhupada's expressions. Because if you're not careful, you can commit offenses, you can become inattentive. Of course, offenses against the holy name, all these things. So, not to dwell on the negative, but so the whole point is just to be attentive. Attention. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated that the offenses on chanting, basically, they're rooted in inattention. You know, we state that as the 11th offense usually when we're talking about the 10 offenses. Like I say, it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that that is actually the root of it. Because if you're attentive doesn't mean just like what be here now, or like they say, what mindfulness. Attention means attention to what your goal is. You know, what you're trying to accomplish, what your sankalpa, you know, sankalpa means intention, is, and be very focused in praying to Krishna while you're chanting. And then you're on that straight and narrow path, like Prabhupada said, even there's danger on the royal road. The royal road refers to, of course, concessions that we have for sense gratification, whether that means in a different ashram, or the concession would mean, you know, we get to eat. You know, Prabhupada said also that many devotees have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasada. What does that mean? That doesn't mean they disrespect Mahaprasada. That means achahara. You know, they ate too much. Because the principle, even if you eat too much of Mahaprasada, is still the principle of vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam applies. So, attention, or not, actually, to use a negative, not being inattentive, which means being attentive. So, attention means to be attentive 24 hours a day to our goal in life of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, we could commit this same type of error the demigods did. Okay. Oh my God, went too long on that one. So, that's why this happened. You know, why did Krishna allow it to happen? Krishna's teaching lessons. Why does Krishna allow the demons to become more powerful? Because the demigods, it's an impetus for the demigods to pray. If everything went well in this world, and we're not only speaking about demigods, but Prabhupada said an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. What does that mean? I mean, of course, Krishna arranges that we don't have an easy life. That means that if everything is going well, I mean, I always use the example of Hawaii. I was just talking to one of my godbrothers who was the GBC, Tamahar, the GBC of Hawaii, and he was telling me it's very difficult there because everybody is just like really, you know, loose. Not everybody, sorry. I don't want to commit offenses. But most of the devotees are very, very loose there. And because everything, the weather is perfect. Don't get attracted to that. Weather, you already live there. The weather is perfect. I mean, the weather forecaster basically, he can just like use a recording of the weather forecast every day. He doesn't use to push a button in MP3. It'll be sunny in the middle 80s today and beautiful weather. And the mangoes are like beautiful. The papayas, you ever seen a papaya this big? Papayas are this big.
Not
papayas, I'm sorry. The avocados are this big. The avocados are this big. You can feed a whole family on one avocado, the whole meal. And they're nice. You know, they like the Hass avocados, the same sort of taste. So, we become very complacent. And so, of course, even in Hawaii, one can become Krishna conscious. But we have to keep reminding ourselves of the goal. So what happens is that Krishna arranges these different occurrences, because even Hawaii people do get old, they get sick, they die. And one thing you experience is actually sometimes there's more conflicts in a situation like that when everything's going well. So Krishna arranges these things, like death, disease, old age, demons, to help us become Krishna conscious. And to bring other people to Krishna consciousness, just like we're experiencing now. There's some tension in society, right, in America. And things are becoming more favorable for preaching. People saying, wow, where have you been? We need you, you Hare Krishnas. You know, oh yeah, give me one of those books. I need that book. So these miseries are they? First of all, the material world is not our place. I mean, actually, I was just reading something from Prabhupada. It was so amazing. Prabhupada said that actually, there's no question, we didn't fall down in the material world because we're not in the material world. That's an interesting statement, Prabhupada made. Because we're talking about the fall down position. It's just like the soul is never in contact with matter. It's like in that movie, The Matrix, isn't it? It's not that the person was in contact with inside the computer. But for all intents and purposes, he was, you know, for experiential purposes, he was inside the computer. But actually, he wasn't. So the soul can't touch matter. It's a spirit. Spirit can't touch matter. And also another thing, the material world would engage in Krishna services like can become like the spiritual world. But that's another subject matter. So, sorry about that. I just got started. So it's interesting. We're just an illusion that we're in this world. Or this world is... the world exists. It's real. But we're the ones that are an illusion. The world is not an illusion. On that happy note, I guess we can continue tomorrow. And when we can enter the spiritual world...
The red pill or the blue pill?
Yeah. We should take the right pill. Thank you very much. Nice to see everybody joining us today. Thank you. Jai Shri Shri Radhagopinanda, Radhagopinanda Ki Jai. We're going to greet the deities.
Thank you. divine grace. Chamma Namananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Iskan Founder Acharya
Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Anandagoti Voishnav Vrindagajaya Namacharya.